Even for smart folks who know the online landscape inside and out, like Fortune magazine senior editor Dan Primack, net neutrality can be a little hard to explain.
I mean, I would say, generically speaking, let me see how to say it. It's very complicated. You're right. Let me rephrase.
Here's how Rob Farris, research director of Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society, breaks it down.
The basic idea is that all bits are treated equally, more or less, as they're passed on to consumers.
Online, everything is made of bits. Every email, high-resolution photo, or YouTube video. In a world of net neutrality, whether those bits add up to the New York Times homepage or your cousin's cat blog, they're treated equally and delivered at the same speed. Farris says it's that level playing field that has made the internet the internet.
I think most of the innovation that we've seen in the internet, people have attributed to the ability for entrepreneurs to just get on the internet and deliver packets and bits unimpeded to consumers on basically equal ground.
But here's the rub. In order for that content to get to your computer, it travels through cable owned by internet service providers, or ISPs, like Comcast, Verizon, or Time Warner. It's those companies now at the center of the latest debate over net neutrality. Here's Fortune's Dan Primack again.
You know, we have de facto net neutrality, but that doesn't mean, you know, we always will.
That's becoming increasingly clear. The ISP's networks are only so big, and companies like, say, Netflix that stream high-quality video are commanding larger and larger chunks of that space. That has some worried that the ISPs will start playing favorites.
If you're a broadband provider and you make a decision internally, you know, in the absence of net neutrality rules, once this app or once this website gets to a certain level of traffic and it starts, from our perspective, costing us, once there's a threshold that passes, we're going to insist that they either start paying us or we're going to slow them down.
It's scenarios like this that have internet startups, net neutrality advocates, and the federal government nervous, especially after a court ruling last year made it clear that as things currently stand, the Federal Communications Commission does not have the power to stop internet providers from doing this kind of thing. Now the FCC is poised to change that.
The attempt at net neutrality, legally speaking, is more proactive than reactive. It's trying to nip something in the bud before it becomes an issue, rather than reacting to something that is an issue.
On Thursday, the FCC is expected to do so by essentially reclassifying internet service providers as a public utility, strengthening the Fed's ability to regulate them. Internet giants like Netflix, Amazon, and Google, and Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey have all signaled support, while ISPs like Verizon and AT&T and businessmen like Mark Cuban have railed against it. Senator Ted Cruz even called it Obamacare for the internet. Whatever the effect of the FCC's ruling, Farris says to keep in mind that this latest move is by no means the last one in the fight for the future of the internet.
This is just another chapter in the book. So we're just looking for the next shoe to drop and to see who files the first lawsuit against it. It's the United States. We take it to court. And who knows? It's going to be a long fight.
One that we'll all be able to follow online on whatever website we choose at equal speed. From the Curiosity Desk, I'm Edgar B. Herwick III, WGBH, Boston's local NPR.